Father, please hold me firm and don't let me sink away from you. Hold me firm. Don't let me sink away from you. Father, please hold me firm. With your right hand of righteousness, hold me firm. And do not let me sink away from you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
I want you to pray and say, Father.
Father.
Let your kingdom,
come in this nation,
and also in my life.
And also in my
pray in the name of Jesus. Father, let your kingdom come in this nation, and also in my life. Let your kingdom come. My Father and my God, let your kingdom come. The ancient of days, the Lord arranged his Shekinah glory. Let your kingdom come. In this nation, in the United Kingdom, all over this land, let your kingdom come. And let it also come in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Want you to pray and say, Father,
forgive all the sins of this nation
and restore
the
glory that have been lost. Pray in the name of Jesus. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask of you, my Father and my God, that you will please forgive our sins in this nation and all the sins of our forefathers. Lord God Almighty, forgive our sins in this nation, my Father and my God, the omnipotent and the omniscient Lord, and restore all the glory that have been lost in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I want you to pray and say, Father,
as
you forgive our sins in this nation,
let righteousness
be seen across this land.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and our God, even as you forgive our sins in this nation, Lord, let righteousness be seen across this land, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let righteousness be seen across this land once again, in the mighty name of Jesus. Mandelebo Santayandele Aborundo Gototunde Yeboko Shanda. Let righteousness be seen across this land once again, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
If we are praying for righteousness to be seen across this land, I have a role to play. You have a role to play. So we are going to pray and say, Father,
give me the grace
to play my own role
in
seeing that righteousness
cut
across every nooks and cranny of this land. In the name of Jesus, let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, my Lord and my God, ancient of days, give me the grace, almighty and everlasting God, to play my part, to contribute my own quota in seeing that righteousness cut across this land. In the name of Jesus, in seeing that righteousness cut across our neighborhood, our borough, our nation as a whole, our universities, our primary, secondary, and grammar school, the police force, the army, the navy, the air force, Malinda, Liam, Korobo, Koshanda, our health system, the NHS. Oh Lord God Almighty, let me be able to play my own role
in sin and righteousness cut across this land. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
The devil has a way of enticing men. He tried it with our Lord Jesus Christ. And if the devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ by presenting him with so many different things in order to gain his soul, I don't know who you are that you will not be tempted of the devil. So I want you to pray and say, Father, with every strength in you, Father,
everything the devil
may be presenting to me in order to take over my soul, let it not appeal to me. Pray in the mighty name of Jesus. My Father, my God, the omnipotent and the omniscient, whatever it is that the devil may be presenting unto me, God Almighty, in order to take over my soul, do not let it appeal to me. In the mighty name of Jesus, do not let it appeal to me, my Father and my God. In the name of Jesus, Almighty and everlasting God, do not let it appeal to me. In the name Jesus, I beg of you, my Father and my God, no matter how incredible it might look, no matter how beautiful it is, let it not appeal unto me. In the mighty name of Jesus, Ancient of Days, let it not appeal to me. Thank you, my Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Alpha, Omega, inside there is no you, because you are the Alpha, you are the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the everlasting Father, the King of glory, the Prince of peace, the God that was, that is, and is to come. We exalt your holy name. Thank you, because you are the Alpha and the Omega of our life. And because of all that you have done and you are doing and you will yet do, we will praise you from everlasting to everlasting. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Lord, we have come unto you once again this afternoon to hear you speak to us. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that you will speak yourself through this hidden vessel. In the mighty name of Jesus. And your name alone will be glorified. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. The people of God will say, amen. Be seated in His wonderful presence. Let's put our hands together to appreciate our choir. You will agree with me that they did better than last week. If you are clapping for the Lord, you can do better. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to continue, or rather conclude, our message of last week, titled Facing Your Fears. And we will be looking at part two today, God helping us. Let's quickly turn our Bible to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14. I'm going to read from verse 10 to 16. Exodus 14. Verse 10 to 16. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore, as thou dead dost with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore Christ thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. In the first part of this topic, facing your fears, we discuss extensively on the fact that fear is a formula for failure. That fear is a formula for failure. We said that fear make us to be skeptical. We also said that fear makes us to become selfish. We said that with fear in our life, when we allow fear to replace faith, it makes us to become stubborn. It makes us to become short-sighted. In other words, we don't see what is ahead of us. We see what is near us, what is at present. It makes us to become short-sighted. And we said that for us to actually live by faith, we must have a vision. We must visualize how our tomorrow will be like. We must visualize what we want our family to look like, irrespective of what we are going through at the present moment. And that was where we rounded up last week. Today, we are going to continue as we look at how can I replace fear with faith? How can I replace fear with faith? In other words, if you have been afraid, how then can you become a man of faith in some certain areas of your life? Now, what I mean by this is that how do I take risk in faith or risks in faith? When you know that the situation around you, what is happening to you, that it is clear without any doubt that there is no way forward in this matter, then how do you take risk in order to move forward? There are some steps that we need to take. There are some principles that we must adhere to if fear must become a thing of past in our life. The very first thing is that we need information. We need what? Information. We need to get the facts. Get the fact about that your situation, about that step you're about to take. Get information. From the story of the children of Israel here, when they cry to God according to the scripture, and later they accuse Moses of leading them out of the land of Egypt against their wish, Moses turned to God and cried to God according to the scripture. And what was the response of God? God gave him an information. God said, "Why are you crying unto me? Tell the children of Israel to move forward." But he told him what to do. What did he ask him to do before they move forward? He said, "First, stretch forth your rod over the sea, and then what? Divide it so that the children of Israel will go on the dry land in the midst of the sea." That's the information that is required. Without information, without facts about our situation, whatever risk we take, we end up in problem. We put us into deeper problem. So if you are going to take any risk in faith, God wants you to get the facts. Anything that requires faith is going to have some element of risk. Believe me honestly. Anything that does not have element of risk in it is not faith. Because you already know the end result. Whatever you know the end result is no longer faith. So if you are going to take risk, God is saying there is a right way and there is a wrong way. There is what? A right way and a wrong way. God does not want us to take foolish steps in life and say that I'm exercising faith. That's not faith. He's saying get facts. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13. And verse 16. Proverbs 13:16 says, "Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his what? His folly." Every prudent man dealeth with what? Knowledge. They act on the information that they have what? They have received. You want to act in faith? Find out the facts. What did I say you should do? Find out facts. I will tell you a story. It's a joke, anyway. About three people. A pastor, an evangelist, and a lay minister in the church. A pastor,
an evangelist and a lay minister. The three of them were in a boat, in a row, in the midst of a fish pond. And all they wanted to do is cast some fish from the pond. And the three of them were in the boat and they were rowing, trying to use their hook to bring out fish. And while they were doing that, they could not bring out any fish. Then the evangelist stands up from the boat and said, "I need to go to the bathroom." So he climbed out of the boat in the midst of the pond and he walked on water to shore to go and use the bathroom. He comes back about 10 minutes later, the same way he went, to join them in the boat. Immediately, the lay minister said, "I also need to use the loo." So he also stepped out of the boat and then walked on the water of the pond. He went, he used the bathroom and came back the same way after about 10 minutes. Then the pastor looked at both of them and he decided that his faith is just as strong as their faith. In fact, he is a lay minister. I am the pastor. The other person is an evangelist. I am the pastor. So my faith is even stronger than their faith. And he also excused himself. He said, "I need to make use of the bathroom." And he stepped out of the boat. And before he know what is happening, the others heard a big bang of him sinking into the pond. And the two of them, the evangelist and the lay minister, they look back and they look at themselves. They say, "I suppose we should have told him where the rocks were." In other words, what happened? The two of them already know where there are rocks. They need to put their leg on the pond to walk out of the pond. But the pastor did not know. So he saw them walk out without asking any information. He stepped out in faith and he ended up inside the pool. So tell your neighbor, find out the fact. Don't take foolish steps. So information is crucial. When you are going to make a major decision about your life, find out about people who have already taken such decisions in the past. How did they go about it? What are the price that they have to pay? Read books, attend seminars, listen to tapes if need be. Find who has already received results in that area before. Believe me honestly, there is nothing you want to take an action of faith about that somebody has not taken such act of faith before. Now, once you get the fact, you have all the necessary information, the second step is evaluation. Is what? Evaluation. Counting the cost. Find out why you are doing what you are doing. What are the risks involved in it? What is it going to cost me? What is it going to cost me in time? What is it going to cost me in money? What is it going to cost me in reputation or even my emotional energy? You need to know. You remember very well the story in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 and verse 31. When Jesus was speaking with the crowd, and he said to them that if they are going to become his disciples, if they are going to become his follower, there is need for them to count the cost before they take that step of faith. You see, you always tell them, carry your cross and do what? And follow me. In other words, Jesus is telling them, you have a price to pay in order to become my disciple. Literally, what he was saying there is that if you are going to build a house, you better go out and plan for your budget first. Evaluate the cost. If you are going to go to war, you better figure out what is the strength of the army of your enemy compared with the strength of your own army. It is not lack of faith to evaluate. Hello, someone. It is not lack of faith to evaluate. It is an encouragement to faith. Evaluation is what? An encouragement to faith. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 25. Proverbs 20, 25. It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vow to make inquiry. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He said it is what? A snare to the man who devoured that which is what? Is holy. And after vow to make inquiry. What should he have done first? Make inquiry. Every decision has a price tag on them, sir. Every decision has what? A price tag. And you better know what the price is before you take the risk. Number three, preparation. Preparation. Plan your steps. Proverbs 14, verse 15 says, a prudent man carefully consider his steps. Anyone who is going to be prudent when it comes to the matter of faith, they always think about where they are going. Anybody who is going to take the risk of faith understand where they are going. In other words, they know the end result. So they prepare themselves for whatever will come along the way. And they take one step after the other. And by the help of God, they know that they will get to where they are going. Proverbs 16, verse 19. Proverbs 16, verse 19.
Better it is to be of a humble spirit
with the
lowly than to defy the spoil with the proud.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There are two parts to this verse of the scripture. There is a man's part and God's part. God is saying, make your own plan. That's your part. Then you count on God for what? Direction. That's God's part. And the two go together. In other words, as you plan, you must also pray. As you plan, you must what? Pray. Ask God to direct you. Prayer and preparation go together. When you prepare without prayer, you are going to have problems. Do you know that if Moses had just told the people, shout on them and said, everybody enter into the Red Sea without praying, do you think that the Red Sea will open? No. It was because he prayed. That was the reason why God answered and God gave him the information that is what is required. So when you have prayer without preparing, it's also a problem. And that's why many of us today are in the situation we find ourselves in the exercise of faith, because we feel that we have prayed. And God will answer. We don't have to do anything. And believe me honestly, we will remain there until we do our own part, because your own part, God will not do for you. You are going to have to do the two. You will have to prepare and pray. One without the other is inadequate. Is it sufficient? You need them both. Do the right thing, and God will do what he's supposed to do. I will tell you another story of a woman. A very devoted woman in a town. A very devoted Christian, rather. There was flood in their neighborhood. And the flood is forcing everybody to evacuate the community. The government came to the assistance, gave announcement, gave information that everybody should go. Everybody were packing their valuables and they left. This woman refused to leave her house. And when the last rescuers were coming, they rowed the boats to her house and they said, "Oh, woman, it is time to go. This flood is going to continue to rise and is eventually going to destroy the whole area." The woman answered and said, "No, God has helped me before, and he will do it again." They left. So, as the water started to rise, she went to the second story of her house. And another boat came by. And the captain yelled to the woman and said, "Woman, you have to get on this boat now. This is the last boat, or else you will drown." The woman replied again, "I said, no, God has helped me before, and he will do it again." The water rose even higher, and the woman could not stay on the second floor of her house. She had to climb onto the roof of her house. While she was on the roof of her house, an helicopter began to hoover over her head and said, "Woman, this is the link. Grab it so that we can take you to safety." The woman sniffed again and replied, "God is going to save me." And the helicopter flew and left her. To cut the long story short, the water rose higher and the woman drowned to death. So she went to heaven. And there she asked God, "Why didn't you save me, Lord?" And God replied, "I did help. I sent two boats and an helicopter." What killed her? Because she failed to do her own part. Because she failed to do her own part. Tell your neighbor, do your own part. Some people will say, "I don't have to plan. I just live by faith." That's what that woman did. She lived by faith and she died before her time. May you not die before your time in Jesus' name. Amen. Number four, declare, that is declaration, is a fourth principle for you to replace your fear with faith. Declaration, a bold declaration. You need to tell the world about your intention. You need to make a public statement, an announcement about where you are going, about what you feel is going to become of you. Tell people around you. The question is, why should I make the announcement? Why can't I just go out there and take the risk and not tell anybody about it? And then if I fail, it doesn't look bad to anyone. Do you know that goals are statements of faith? Hello, somebody. Goals are what? Statement of faith.
What those goals are saying is, I believe God wants to do this in my life. At such and such time. And here is how you will do that. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. James chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. If you dare, read louder.
Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord will, do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. How are you supposed to declare or make this your statement of faith if the Lord wills? But do you know that God declare it? 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be what? And be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. God is always willing to make life worth living for you. But don't declare that you are going to become this in arrogance, as if you can do it by your power. Always say, God willing. Secondly, why should I announce the risk that I'm about to take? Why should I tell other people about the things I'm going to do? My dream, my goal, my ambition. In the first place, it builds up your faith. It does what? It builds up your faith. When you announce it publicly, like we have said, I said it last week, as a church, we are embarking on a project of about £120,000. And yet, the money we have at hand is not more than £50,000. That means we still need about £70,000 thereabout. But yet, we announce it. I kept on saying it. In the next few weeks, we are going to move into that property. Amen. There is nothing that is going to stop it. It's a statement of faith. I believe that we don't have that money. But God willing, if God is willing, that is the next step in the progression of this sanctuary, He will do what? He will take us there. And because I made the announcement, because I was making progress, some people had already begun to give towards it. Some of you here seated today have given, and you are still giving. If I don't make that announcement, that's your £1,000, that's your £2,000, that's your £3,000, that's your £5,000, you have better things that you can do with it. But because as a church, we made that announcement, we said this is where we are going, you said, well, what I wanted to use this money for myself, can do what? Can wait, let me use it for God. So because you have said it, you have faith that it will come to pass. And do you know that on top of that, it attracts support? Hello, somebody. It attracts what? Support. When people hear you say, this is what you are going to do, there might be people who love you, who have been through that line before, and will say to you, this is the way I went about mine. Check it out if it's suitable for you. And that may be all you need to hear to get to where you are going. But when you keep to yourself, you keep everything. I don't want them to know. When my success come, they will see. And they are, I will show them. There is nobody to show. You will only show yourself disgrace. Number five. Principle of turning your fear to faith is, you need to take an initiation. You need to launch out. Let's go and launch out. Don't stay in what? On a spot. You've got to let go and launch out if you are going to become a person of faith. God wants to work in our lives, but we have to let go of our past before we can grab hold of our future. Let go of our what? Our past, so that we can grab hold of our future. We have to let go of our security in order to grab opportunity. Many people have not been able to grab opportunities in life because they are worried about their security. If I do this, what is going to happen to me? And this is very important, because the most difficult part of taking risk is letting go of the old. Letting go of the old. Anyone who wants to have a successful marriage, who wants to enjoy the blessing of marriage, must let go of the independence of being single in order to grab onto the intimate confines of being married. You cannot be single and say that you want to enjoy the benefit of a married life. Is it possible?
No.
The reason why many people are not married today, there are people who have problems, who have tried, and there have been so many things along the line. But there are some people who decided they are not going to marry because they say they love their what? Their freedom. They don't want to be under any man. They don't want to be under anybody. And yet when they see a family where there is a father, there is a mother, on one side of their mind, they wish, my family is what? It's like this. But they have failed to take the initiation. They have failed to let go in order to be able to launch out. I want you to know today that in taking steps of faith, most of the decisions you take, there are no point of returning. There are no what? Point of returning. And that's the point the children of Israel got to at the Red Sea. No point of what? Returning. The ocean is ahead of them. There is hills, high mountain on the left and the right. They don't have nothing to climb. And the host of Pharaoh, who wants to destroy them, is what? At their back. But they have an opportunity to believe, to have faith. But instead, they responded in fear. And they became skeptical. Like we said last week, they became stubborn. They became short-sighted. And when all this happened, they said, hey, Moses, we should have just stayed in Egypt. Why don't we go back to Egypt? I told you last week, the Bible says that when a man has laid his hand upon the plow and he looketh back, it's not what? He's not fit for the kingdom of God. There is no going back. Every risk of faith will always get a point of no return. You just have to keep going until you get your desired result. May you not go back in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I say, may you not go back in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It is only fear that caused men to retreat, to turn back. But Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4, says,
whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word.
Yes.
In God, I have put my trust.
Yes.
I will not fear.
Yes.
What can flesh do to me?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
David said that he will put his confidence in what? In God. If you look at that verse, he admitted that he is afraid. Did he? Yeah, he admitted that he's afraid. But he said his trust is in God. And because his trust is in God, his fear subsides. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving ahead in spite of fear. You see that courageous man, it's not that there is no fear. There is fear. But he just decided to move ahead. Despite the fact that he or she is afraid. I will tell you another story and we will pray. This time around is about a woman, another woman. A very virtuous woman. An elderly woman. This elderly woman was well known in our community for her faith, for her boldness in also talking about it. There's nobody she will not tell about her faith. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. God is wonderful. She will say a lot of things about God. And when she's saying it, she will be standing on her balcony so that everybody, both the neighbors and the passerby, will hear her. And as she said that, she will be saying, "Praise the Lord." Then one day, her next door neighbor, who is an atheist, said to her in anger, "I've told you to stop shouting, there is Lord. There is nobody called Lord anywhere." And yet this woman will not stop. So as the year rose by, hard time set in on this elderly lady. To the extent that she doesn't have food to even eat. And she prayed to God, standing on her balcony, and said, "God, send me help. I don't have food to eat. I am having a hard time. Please, Lord, send me some grocery." And she prayed. And the day rolled by, she went to bed. The next morning, when this lady opened the door of her house, and she noted a very huge bag of grocery, she quickly rushed out, and when she saw grocery, she carried the bag inside and said, "Praise the Lord. He has supplied all my need. He has given me grocery." And the neighbor jumped behind that deity and said, "Oh, I told you there was no Lord. I bought those groceries. God did it." And the lady started jumping up and down on the balcony and said, by clapping her hand, "Praise the Lord. He not only sent me grocery, but he made the devil to pay for them. Praise the Lord." God used our enemy to meet our what? Enemy. Because she believed in God. Can we rise up? I want you to bow your head. And imagine, what is it that God is saying to me today? He's saying, I should stop running. I should face the issues of my life with faith. I should move against my fear. I should do those things I fear most. Those steps I fear most, I should begin to take them. Why not ask the Lord for the grace to face your fears? Pray, my brother, pray, my sister. Father, give me the grace to face every fear that has held me bound. Move against every fear that it won't, that is saying it won't work. You will regret it. Move against and say it will work. I will not have anything to regret.
Thank you, Lord Father. Mukuranda Yabosunda, Yemokoto Korombo, Tunde Kayemokosha.
Pray, my brother, pray, my sister.
Rindo Romo Kosotoria Bakataka, Yando Romo Kototunde Liabosundaya. Inde Yebo Sata, Liamokunde, Yelebo Sotoya, Liaka, Inde Liakosunda. Help me to face all my fears. Help me. Thank you. Glory be to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Want you to pray and say, Father,
liberate me
from every shade of fear that has held me down for so long, preventing me from making progress. Pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, deliver me from every chain of fear that has held me down for so long, thereby preventing me from making progress. In the name of Jesus, Lord God Almighty, help me. Ancient of days, deliver me. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Is there any particular thing that is causing you to be afraid? That is giving you sleepless night? Confront it with prayer now in the name of the Lord. And before the end of this year, you will give glory to God.
Go ahead.
It doesn't matter what it is that is causing you to be afraid. Some of those things might be good things that you wanted to do, but yet you are afraid. Face it. Today, with faith, thank you, Alpha. Blessed be you. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Our dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word that you have brought unto us, admonishing us to face our fear with faith. Because there is nothing that faith cannot conquer. Father, please accept our thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we ask for the grace
to always put our trust in you like David did in the time of his fear. And you never let him down. Give unto us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Therefore, pray for all these your children. Every fear of failure, let it get behind them from today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every fear of death, let it get behind them from today.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever it is that is making them to be afraid during the day, during the noontime, or even during the night, Jehovah God, by faith, we challenge those things together this afternoon, oh Lord. We ask that you will silence them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And in any way that any of us had been ignorant, in any area that we have acted foolishly in the past and we have gotten ourselves into trouble, Lord, we ask that by faith, as we begin to trust in you more than ever before, get us out of there.
Amen.
And let your name be glorified.
Amen.
Thank you, our Father. Glory be to your holy name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.